And I love him. And he's the guy I brought the carrot cake to
in the Philippines. Amen.
Got him back to life. Amen.
Yes, sir. All righty. Well, I'm glad to be here. Amen. Thank you for helping those people in the Philippines with a house. You don't know how precious that will be to them. And I'll tell you what, some of you can get excited and go over and look at the house that you built over there, and that would be great too, amen? And you could also help them prepare for a house in heaven. And so thank you for everything that you're doing. It's a tremendous mission conference, huh? And I'm fired up, and that's the theme of your mission conference, fired up for the field, and I hope that you're getting fired up. I want to thank you for the hotel room. God bless you, man. I travel to different countries and whatever, and sleep in tents and different places and whatever. It's always good to get into a hotel room. Thank you for the food basket. I'm trying to eat it all up before I can leave. But the problem is you've been feeding me so many other places, I don't know if I can get it all done. And so, but thank you for that. Hey, how about these shoes, amen? And, man, I tell you what, usually when you buy a pair of shoes, a brand new pair, you put them on, they're kind of tighter, and then you wear them for a little bit, and they get sore or whatever. These are fit like a glove, amen? And so thank you for that, and thank you for everything that you're doing. Thank you for helping the missionaries. I want you to turn the Bible to the book of Jude. Book of Jude. And so let's stand for the reading of God's Word. And in the book of Jude, that's right before Revelations, and you have to thank God that you have a Bible this morning, and I'm going to read a couple verses here, and I will not be long this morning because I know it's Mother's Day. Thank God for every mother. Amen?
Amen.
And you got to always thank God and pray for your mother and take care of your mother as long as you have her. And just continue to have a great day today. Take her out to eat. Do something special for your mother today. Let's look at Jude chapter 1. Amen. It's the only chapter there is. And so let's look at verse 22. All right. And some have compassion, making a difference, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted with flesh. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. Father, thank you for everything that you're doing. Father, thank you for Heritage Baptist Church and the work they're doing here, not only here, but around the world. Thank you for Pastor Shears and his family. Father, I pray that you'd bless them and keep your hand upon them. Now, Father, we need your help. Father, today we're going to finish up the mission conference. And Father, what we do here will determine on how many people around the world will hear a clear presentation of the gospel. Father, while we slept because of Heritage Baptist Missions Program, Father, many people were saved during the night and people were baptized and churches were started and many things were going on spiritually around the world. And we thank you for the ministry here that has made that possible. Now, Father, I need your help. Do a work that only you can do. Save the lost and change the life of the Christian. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. And this mission conference, your theme is fired up for the field. And boy, we've been singing, Set My Soul Afire. And I hope throughout the mission conferences, your soul was set afire. Amen? I hope it is. I'm fired up this morning. I was looking at yesterday, studying and whatever, trying to figure messages to preach on, fired up for the field or whatever, and looking through the Bible and looking about how the fire fell when Elijah prayed down fire and whatever, and then there the fire was burning in Jeremiah's bones and whatever. I'm fired up because, number one, I'm saved this morning. Amen. I don't know what else you could ask for. Being saved and on your way to heaven is that to fire everybody up. And I'm fired up because I live in America. Oh boy, I have visited many other countries, and sometimes we complain about the condition of America. But let me tell you something, folks, we are far ahead of whatever second place. We are far ahead of whatever second place. So I'm fired up. I'm fired up because I get an opportunity to serve the Lord. Boy, I'm glad I got out of bed this morning. Amen. I'm glad I was able to get up and to teach Sunday school class and now to preach and be able to do something. I hope that you're excited and you're fired up because, man, you're saved. You live in America and you can serve the Lord. I want to help us to look this morning at this, being fired up for the field. The first thing I want us to see is this. We need to be fired up because of the people we see. Because of the people we see. I don't know about you. I hope that you don't get so busy during the week and your focus is on so many other things that you pass people and you don't look at people. When Jesus Christ looked at people, looked at the multitudes, he saw people. Go to Matthew chapter 9 real quick. Matthew chapter 9, we see this. But I'm fired up and I want you to be fired up because of the people that you see. Everywhere we go, there's people and people and people. Man, I travel a lot and I'm different places. I see people at the hotel and I see people at the restaurants and I see people at the airport. report. And it's amazing to me, boy. I don't have to watch TV to get excited. I don't have to watch TV to be amazed or whatever. I can just sit at the airport and watch people. Man, I'm telling you what, just sit there. You go to the airport and you just sit there. Man, you can't dress wrong nowadays. I mean, you can't dress wrong. You can't wear your hair the wrong way, man. I'm telling you. I mean, it's just amazing. I sit and watch people, where they come from and how they act and what they do. And so I get my entertainment just watching people. But here in Matthew chapter 9, we look at verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And we see this here. And when Jesus saw the multitude, and he saw people, and I'm so thankful that when God looked down, and Jesus looked down upon the world, that he seen me. Amen? I am thankful that when Jesus looked down upon the world that he's seen you. I fly all the time on airplanes, and I get to look out the window once in a while. It always amazes me how you fly over these big cities. And of course, man, there's many big cities that you fly over. And of course, then you get out in the country, whatever. And sometimes we're above the clouds. And usually when we come down to land, you'll get underneath the clouds or whatever. And I'm thinking about how great God is. Man, I'm thinking, we ought to be fired up because we have a great God. And the God I'm talking about is Jehovah God. There's only one true living God, and that is Jehovah God. Amen? And our country was founded upon Jehovah God. It was founded upon the Bible. It was founded upon that. And we're a Christian nation. But what separates us from all the other countries around the world is that we are a Christian nation. Amen? Boy, sometimes the president will get up and say, I want America to be like other nations. Oh, no, not me. I don't want to be like other nations. I've seen the other nations. I've seen their false gods. I've seen their idols. I've seen all the other things that are going on. I don't want to be like any other nation. I thank God that I'm in America underneath Jehovah God and that we're a Christian nation. Amen? But I'm going to tell you something, folks. For us to continue to be a Christian nation, we have to have Christians. Amen? That means somebody's going to have to go out and win somebody to Christ. If this country dies and goes to hell, it will be the Christians' fault. Not the political people or all the other, the drug crowds or all the other. It'll be our fault because we're not reproducing ourselves. To be a Christian nation, we have to have Christians. The only way that you can become a Christian is by coming to Jesus Christ and trusting Jesus Christ for what He did on the cross. And so we see this here. Jesus looked at the multitudes. He saw the multitude. He saw people without a shepherd. He saw people without a Savior. He saw people without direction. He saw people without purpose. Boy, when Jesus looked at the multitudes and He's seen you and He's seen me, and boy, He knows who's saved and who's not saved, and He knows how we're living. And again, coming down out of those clouds, I'll see the houses or whatever, and people look like ants on the ground or whatever. And it amazes me. Sometimes I'll think that He knows who they are. He knows whether they're married or single, you know, whether they're a man or woman, how many children they got. He even knows the number of hairs upon our head. And say, boy, look, Jesus looked at the multitudes and whatever. And we need to be fired up enough to, what, pray? Look here. When Jesus saw the multitudes and saw them without a shepherd, without a Savior, without direction. Look at verse, what did He say to do? Look at verse 37. He said unto His disciples, now His disciples are followers of Jesus Christ. Boy, there are many people saved today, but there are very few disciples or followers of Jesus Christ. There are many people that say they're saved and they are or whatever, but there are very few followers of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something this morning. Are you saved? And you say yes. I'm going to ask you, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Boy, are you a follower? And Jesus said to the disciples, His followers, He said, look at, He said here, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And let me say this morning, the harvest truly is plenteous. There are lost people wherever you go. And sometimes in America, we watch the sports channels or whatever, and we'll see the stadiums full of people, some of them are 100,000 people, 80,000 people. Wherever I see a great gathering of people, my first thought is this, are they saved? Now they had an opportunity to hear the gospel, even in America. Now what we're talking about, I want you to be fired up. I want you to be fired up for the field. Oh, America's part of the field. Amen. And so we see this here. He said, what was His answer? Look at verse 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers in the harvest. We need to pray. Well, we see, look, we need to get fired up enough to pray. Most of us are just coasting. Just coasting through life. And I'm talking about Christians today. We're just kind of coasting through that. We've lost our fire. We lost our desire. We lost our passion or whatever. But when Jesus saw the multitude, man, He had compassion. He had that fire. He said, I want you to pray. I want you to pray for laborers. But you understand how great a need there is out there? China has 1.3 billion people. Now I pass through China. I pass through there a couple times or whatever. And boy, you look at people. Oh boy, the streets are full of people and just multitudes of people. And you look at China, 1.3 billion people. And as you look at them, if we would take the population of China and froze it today, there would the people freeze the population of China today, nobody died and nobody was born. And if we took the gospel of Jesus Christ and if we had 3,000 people saved today, now listen to this, if we had 3,000 people to save a day in China, it would take us 1,187 years just to reach China. You see the magnitude of the responsibility that we had to get the gospel out? Turn to Luke chapter 16 as we go through this. I'm seeing people. We'll get fired up if we just look at people. And one reason we need to be fired up is because we see people in Luke chapter 16. I want us to look at this, and of course I have an opportunity to travel, and everywhere I go, people are lost, and I see different people and have different stories and watch people get saved or whatever. But look at just here in Luke chapter 16. Of course, we're talking about the rich man and Lazarus or whatever, and how the rich man died and he went to hell according to the Bible. And so we see this here in verse 23. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And so we see the rich man, he died. He had everything in this world. And sometimes if we're not careful, folks, we'll start preparing for things in this world and forget about the next world. Well, I'm telling you what, it's good to have some things in this world, but I'll tell you what, I'm excited about what I'm going to have in the next world. I've been laying up treasures for all these years in heaven. And Lord, I'm going to be fired up when I get to heaven. Amen? First of all, I'm going to see Jesus Christ. Oh, I long to see Him. And sometimes I will meditate and think boy, just spend time thinking about Jesus and what He looks like. And I just want to see Him someday. I'm going to be fired up when I get an opportunity to see Jesus. And so we see this, but the rich man, he is more concerned about the things of the earth, and he forgot about what he's going to do in eternity. We find Lazarus here. And of course, Lazarus, he gets to go to heaven and whatever. But look at here in verse 27 is what I want to get at. We see the rich man here. He, after he died, went to hell, and he knew there was a place of fire and torment and whatever. Look at what he said in verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. He's talking about Lazarus. He said, look, I send him to my father's house. Look at verse 28. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Boy, I'll tell you what, the people in hell, if they could speak today, they would say, send someone to my house, send someone to my loved ones, send someone and tell them about this place. And so many times preachers don't like to preach on hell because we're afraid we're going to offend people or whatever. But I'm going to tell you something, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than probably any other topic. He preached on hell. If the people in the hell had an opportunity, they'd say, look, go send somebody to my household. What? They don't have to come here. I don't want my loved ones. I don't want my family. I don't want other people to come here. I was in Jamaica. And so went into Jamaica and whatever, went to Burger King, and I probably told that story here before and whatever, and got into Burger King, and they were training people that day. They were training people to work behind the counter and whatever, so we've been out soul winning. And of course, anytime you get to a foreign country, you see anything with American sign, you're hoping that food tastes something like America, amen? And just because they put the foreign sign out, American sign out, does not mean it's going to taste like American food or whatever, but when you're hungry, amen? And so we went in there, and I went up the counter to order a Whopper and whatever, and my son in the Philippines, he'll sometimes fly up to Manila. Sam will fly up to Manila to pick me up or whatever. He said, Dad, let's go to Burger King. He always wants a Whopper with cheese. And he doesn't get them down in the islands or whatever. But I went in and ordered a Whopper or whatever. I went up the counter, and they had people behind the counter. And so I put a stack of tracts there, and I said, now look, when you get done today or you take a break, I want you to take these tracts, and I want you to read them because there's a gospel message in there, and I'll show you how to go to heaven. Well, I got my Big Mac or my Whopper or whatever, went out and set out and whatever. And so as people started coming in to order their food, the trainee people, the people behind the counter, every time they ordered their food on a tray, they put a tract on it. That was amazing to me. I thought, man, that's great. And these people are not even saved behind the counter yet, and they're passing out more gospel tracts than Christians do. Paul will tell you why. We better be careful because people around the world are more excited, they're more fired up about the gospel of Jesus Christ than you and I are. What a shame. What a shame that there are other people around the world that don't have what we have. We think we're Americans. We think we have everything. We think we're the most intelligent people. We don't think we have all the technology. We think we have everything. But let me tell you something about American Christians. We are very prideful.
Yeah.
But the rest of the world just goes along. And they're excited and they're fired up about getting the gospel. Well, I witnessed the security guard over there. His name was Ethan. They got the gospel and started going through the plan of salvation with him, taking my kind because they speak English over there and going through it. And all of a sudden, he starts crying halfway through the presentation of the gospel. He just starts crying and crying and crying. And I was explaining to him how that, if you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you'll die and go to hell when you die and whatever. And he just started crying. He said, look, you mean to tell me that if I had not heard the gospel or have not heard the plan of salvation and I've never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I will die and go to hell? I said, yes, you will. It's not what I say. It's what the Bible says. He began to cry. And he said, look, I have my girlfriend and we have two children and whatever. And she had cancer 6 months ago and she died. And he loved her. She died. And he turned around and looked at me. And he said, where were you 6 months ago? Where were you? Why did it take you so long to come here and tell me the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
And there are people here. We need to be fired up because the people that we see. The second thing real quick, we need to see this here. We need to be fired up because of the prosperity we have. Because of the prosperity we have. We're living in a time, we're living in a part of the world that has great wealth. Now we complain about how bad the economy is. We complain about how the things are going and the value of the dollar or whatever. But I want to tell you something. We live in a part of the world at a time where we have great wealth. We can have almost anything that we want. We may have to charge it. We may have to charge it or put it on the credit card or whatever. But it's amazing to me in the part of the world that we live in. Of course, that's America. How many gadgets there are. How many gadgets? Man, you look at, I love technology, but technology and I are like gas and water. We don't mix. I love computers and I love the iPad and the iPhone and whatever. And for some reason, I got to be very careful because I want it. I want the next iPad. I want the next computer. I don't know what to do with it. All right? I mean, I can turn it on and flip through the keys a little bit. But as far as learning and getting anything done on it, I have to work at it. Man, I'm telling you what, I taught my son-in-laws more about computers than anybody in the world. Why? Because I'll tell you what, I mess up a computer so bad, it takes somebody with intelligence to straighten it out. I was in the Philippines one time, had a computer over there, and this was years ago. Man, I lost the volume on it. And the volume disappeared. I couldn't figure out what happened to the volume. And I thought, well, I can't mess it up anyways. I'll take it back to one that had the factory, come out of the factory, whatever. So I deleted it, turned it over, took it back and restored it to where it would come out of the factory, whatever. And I did everything else. I started putting some buttons and whatever. I couldn't get that thing to work. And finally one day, I thought, it'd be nice if I could just get the volume out of it. And so one day I turned it on, went up the side like that. Volume came on. There was a little scroll button on the side of the computer. I about to turn it down accidentally. And just, I'm telling you what, I'm going to mess with it. But it was amazing to me how the technology that we have, all the toys that we have, all the flashy clothes that we have, the cars and the furnishings. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm fired up because of prosperity. We have an opportunity to have those things.
Yeah.
We got to thank God that we live in a country where we have that opportunity. But I'm also fired up because there are people around the world that do not have those things. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, it says, eat the fat and drink the sweet. And God says, look, I'm not against you having things. God says to us American Christians, whatever, he says, look, man, eat the fat. I mean, take it in, enjoy it, or whatever. Drink the sweet. He says, I want you to have all the abundance. I'm telling you something, we are blessed abundantly with daily benefits. And God says, I'm not against that, man. Eat the fat, drink the sweet. But he also says this, could you send portions?
Yeah,
portions unto whom nothing is prepared.
Amen.
God says, I'm not against you having those things or whatever. He said, but couldn't you send portions unto those whom have nothing? Then nothing is prepared. And boy, of course, if you're not involved in taking the gospel outside these doors, if you're not visiting your Sunday school classes and visiting the children that ride the bus and visiting the converts and the people that come to church to come here to visit, if you're not doing that, man, you're not going to understand what I'm talking about. There are people, man, you see them. And I go to these foreign countries and it's amazing to me. There's for whom nothing is prepared spiritually. It is sad that people get saved. And once they get saved, they have very little. I was telling the Sunday school class this, that I was in Panama earlier this year in January, and we were out soul winning, and of course they speak Spanish. We have to use an interpreter or whatever, and we're trying to take the gospel out and pass it. And man, we got back in the mountains where some of the Indian people live, and in Panama or whatever. Man, you go to their house, and they don't have a complete wall. It's just sticks. and maybe an old gunny sack or an old bag for part of the wall, and maybe some cardboard, and it just makes you wonder. They have so little. There's nothing there. And boy, and I get to go home, and I get to sleep on a bed and beautiful things or whatever. And so we continue to go out the door, door to door. Most of them didn't have a door. And so they just, we go out visiting and present the gospel to them. And of course, they knew that we were coming up. So while we were out visiting a little bit, they gathered at the church. And boy, they said, all right, now let's go back to the church. We had not been there yet. We got there. The pulpit was just a great big tree limb sawed off. They just had a big old limb about that wide one, and they just stood it up on end. And you just put your Bible up on that old stump, and you begin to preach, and through an interpreter and whatever, people got saved. I love it. You say, Brother Hyder, what fires you up? Well, what fires me up is people getting saved, amen? Man, I'm telling you what, I don't know about you, but I can be down, and I can be discouraged and whatever, and if I'm about to lose my fire, I'll just go out and try to witness to someone and give the gospel out to someone, and somebody gets saved. That fires me up. And so we look at this, and so we had that church there, and it was full, and they had the old benches and whatever. And so that was the night. So the next day, we drove back into town. We came back out the next morning. We started going back soul winning in that area. And we were going to go back over this great big hill. And we were in a van. And a van wasn't the type of thing that you take out in the bush like that. But anyway, we had another van. We started to go up that hill. We couldn't get up over it. We got about halfway up. The old van started stalling out, whatever. We couldn't. We needed to go back. And someone said, there's a lot of people live back there. There's villages back there. And hardly nobody goes back there. I can tell why. It's very difficult to get back there. And so we couldn't do it. So we backed down. We went so when where we were or whatever. And while we're in this little area, here comes another big old heavy-duty pickup truck. And they got a canvas over the top back over to where. And there had to be 20-some people stuffed in the back of that. I mean, it was hot. They were stuffed in it, and they were stopped there. They stopped and said, look, they were stopping to watch a couple people get off. And we're going to wait here a couple minutes for more people to get on. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, man, get somebody to preach to them. So I went and found our Spanish interpreter, and I said, look, just stand at the back of the truck and preach the gospel to them. We were handing out these little Romans, the book of Romans, and boy, it was very nicely made, and it was very colorful, and it had a nice plan of salvation, one of the best plans of salvation I've ever seen. And it had it in there. Well, it was nice. We were handing them out. And so the man gets up behind the truck, and he begins to preach the gospel. And people get saved. Amen? And one young man comes crawling out from under the pack, and he's probably about 20 years old. And he comes up to me, he said, to an interpreter, he said, can I ask some Romans? He says, I need a handful of Romans. And I asked the interpreter, I said, what does he want with them? He says, he wants to take them over that hill we couldn't get over with. He wants to take them back there. I said, man, give him a handful of nothing. Man, I got a stack about that big, man. I said, look, man, give it to him. And he began to talk. I said, now what's he saying? He said this. He said, I was at the church service last night. I watched you all preach. I watched you take the Bible and win people to Christ. You know what he said? He watched the presentation in the back of the truck. You know what that young man said? He got saved the night before. He said, I think I can do that.
Amen.
Glory to God. He said, I've watched you. He's only watched us a couple times. He only had maybe a little bit of a training. He said, I think I can do that. I'm taking these Romans back over the mountains. I'm taking it back to my family. I'm taking it back to the other people. I think I can do that.
Amen.
Glory to God. I wish some of you would say, I think I can do that. I wish some of you would just say, just take the gospel or whatever. And here's what kind of broke my heart a little bit. He took the gospel back over the hills. But what's he going to do after he gives them the gospel? What happens to them after they get saved? Is there any follow-up? Is there any spiritual growth? How can he tell them how to grow spiritually? Folks, I'm telling you, we need to be fired up. We have the prosperity. We have the prosperity. We have things. I'm telling you, if we get so wrapped up in things, we need to get wrapped up in people hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me ask the next thing real quick is this. I'm trying to get through this because I know time is short. But we look at this. We need to be fired up because of the passiveness of God's people. Man, never before has there been a great responsibility of getting the gospel around the world. And so we've become so passive, so lackadaisical, so lukewarm in our churches. And I travel to a lot of churches, and I see this. But man, there's never been a time that we have a greater responsibility to do this. And there's never been a time that we have greater success because people are being saved everywhere. Don't ever get discouraged about this. Sometimes we think, well, you know, really, I don't really want to get involved in it. God's not really doing something. Not many people being saved. I'm telling you something. People are being saved all over the world. We did this. And so, well, you know, we look at this. But yeah, it seems like more and more of God's people become passive and lackadaisical about missions. Now, we need to be fired up. Over 2 million people, somebody said over 2 billion people have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. 2 billion people. Yet God's people are more interested and we're more interested and we're more fired up on who will win the next Oscar for the best picture. Or who will win the next Super Bowl. Who will be the next American Idol. Or who will win the Grammy for the top female vocalist or whatever. We get more fired up about that. The sad thing about it is many Christians get more fired up about that than they get the gospel into all the world. What do you think about that? The lost are crying, who will come and win my soul to Christ? Man, who will come and win my soul to Christ? Well, we're thinking financially. We're financially burdened because our biggest decision is this. What next game system are we going to buy? Or how are we going to upgrade our cars? Or are we going to go from a 60-inch TV to a great entertainment center? That's the burdens we carry. But yet the world says, look at it. Who's going to come and give us the gospel? Who's going to witness to my family? We need to be fired up about our faith promise giving. We need to be excited about it. I hope that you're excited about it. In a few minutes, we're going to take up faith promise giving. I hope that you're fired up about it. I'm excited about what God's going to do through your faith promise giving. I see the results of your faith promise giving. I travel to many countries and I see many people being saved. I see churches being started. I see so much. And I see all that's being done by churches back home that are giving through their faith promise mission program. I hope you're fired up about that. Fired up about what's going to happen. And we look at this and you see this here. But during the night while you slept, I wish we'd pay more attention. I wish Christians would get more focused in on what God's doing instead of what America's doing and the politicians are doing, the TV crowd's doing. We're so more sports crowd. We're so focused on all that. I wish we'd get focused in and get fired up about what God is doing. God is at work in the world. Your mission program. Look at your mission letters. Look at the prayer letters. Man, just take time to read them. And every time you see somebody being saved, that's fruit to your account. That's because of your giving. And you see churches started and people being baptized. I'm going to tell you something. We would be fired up if we'd just take time to see what God's doing. Fired up for the field. I hope that you get fired up today. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. Father, I pray that you would help us to see. Holy Spirit of God, I need your help. Holy Spirit, what these people will decide to do with their faith promise today will determine on how many lost people will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, your precious Son. Father, we're giving so your precious Son can be known, be made known throughout the world. And so, Father, I pray that you touch hearts today. In your name we pray. Amen.
That's about eyes closed. I'm going to ask you just a couple questions and we'll leave. You're here tonight and today and you say, preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. And boy, I'd sure like to know that. And the preacher talking about going over there and telling people about Christ, but I'm not even saved myself here. If I were to die today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'd be like that one man that says, are you telling me if I die today and I never heard the gospel, I'd go to hell? Unfortunately, that's what the Bible says. And I hope today that you know Jesus is your Savior. If you're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you please pray for me today? Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. That you know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. God bless you. You're here today and you say, preacher, I've been saved. And I've trusted Christ as my personal Savior. And I have not trusted Lord Jesus Christ in what he tells me to do, and the fact that once I'm saved, I need to follow Lord and believers' baptism. I need to do that. You're here today and you say, preacher, there's some things in my heart and my life. I want to give more. I want to do more for the Lord. I just want to be more like Jesus. What a blessing. Maybe your mother here today and you say, you know what? There's some things in my life that's been slipping. I've been discouraged lately. I'm tired. There's some things that I've just kind of left, just kind of float in my family. And I just need to get some things straightened out there. Boy, I'll tell you what, we certainly want to pray for you that. Father in heaven, I pray you'd be at this time of the invitation.
Speak to our hearts today.
That we would do what you'd want us to do. Lord, if there'd be anyone here today without Jesus, I pray today that today would be the day. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Going to ask everyone to stand. This is called the invitation. What it means.